Ways and Means. And the first item of consideration is House Bill 2001, and we have the dash B8 amendment. Be engrossed. Dallas Wine represents Legislative Fiscal Office, and Gary Finn is our clerk. Dallas, would you like to bring us up to date with the 2001 and the dash B8 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2001 does make some changes to the election laws. As drafted, the Be Engrossed version has a mandate for the Secretary of State to develop a statewide voter registration system. And there is some clarifying language and direction for the handling of mail-in ballots. So the bill does two things. The cost of the statewide registration system, you had it, it was estimated to be about $6.2 million at which time, and the Secretary of State testified he really would like all the money or none, do it later, but all at once. Upon review of the existing budgets, he felt there wasn't enough money set aside or available to fund it in its entirety. So you have before you a dash B8 amendment, which takes out the requirement for the Secretary of State to develop and implement a statewide voter registration system. What remains with the dash B8 amendment, however, you still have the remaining language that provides statutory direction on the handling of ballots and, by mail. And they have some timelines and how and what type of envelopes to use on the portable or non-portable and the like. So,
is there any fiscal effective that part of the grant?
No, sir. We've reviewed it, and it pretty much it just provides some guidance as to how the votes by mail should be handled and mailing out the ballots in non-foldable envelopes and the like. And it provides some timeframes for when the ballots should go out and what to do if the ballots are returned.
So none of the 6.2 pays for that.
That is correct. You have a revised fiscal impact for the dash B8 amendment that says essentially there's minimal impact and it's almost zero to both the Secretary of State and County Clerk. So you have before you a copy of the bill, Be Engrossed, the dash B8 amendment to the Be Engrossed, and the revised updated fiscal on the draft amendment with the draft BA, the dash BA.
Chair.
Senator
Trope. I really regret that we have to do this. It seems to me like this is very good public policy. I commend the Speaker and Representative Edwards for coming up with this idea. I think the Secretary of State should move to do this immediately, and I just regret that in this time of good financial conditions, and we have significant revenue in the state, that we can't find the money to do this.
It is certainly a time of plenty, and I think the issue is exactly couched correctly, that this is a time of plenty, and there is a need to do this. And I think that this will set up the structure so that when the funding can be accommodated, it can certainly be accomplished. And I personally have worked with some of the folks from our fiscal office and some of the folks from the Treasury, and we've done our very best to try and figure out how we could do this. And again, going back to the comments of the State Treasurer, the issue was that if it's all possible, do it all or none at all relative to the implementation of the system. This bill does give us, and that's, I think, in Legislative Fiscal's analysis, this bill does give us a ballot box arrangement the number of ballot boxes within the communities and so forth. So that the structure is still in place that we could move forward when the funds are deemed appropriate and available. So thank you very much, Senator Crow. Other comments or questions, members of the committee? This is a work session on House Bill 2001. We have the B8 amendment before us.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lewis is recognized.
Mr. Chris, did you move the DA? Did you move the DA, Colin?
No.
No. Chairman, I would move the dash DA, DA amendment to up to 2001.
It's been moved by Representative Lewis that we incorporate the dash B8 amendments to House Bill 2001. Are there any objections?
Mr. Chair.
Representative,
I'm a little slow. Could you explain to me what is actually amending?
Okay. Mr. Wine, maybe you can go back through that.
Thank you very much. Yes,
you do. Certainly. If you look at your B engrossed version of the bill,
Yes. It
would delete lines 5 through 20.
Okay.
And that is those lines are the requirements that the Secretary of State develop and implement a statewide voter registration
system.
And then it simply renumbers all the other sections.
Okay.
The rest of the bill remains intact.
Okay. So technical change for this topic. Okay.
Well, it has a sizable fiscal change because that portion is deleted with the fiscal, the cost of the $6.2
million. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm not going to object now, but I reserve my right to object because I really do think that we ought to do things that are good for the state of Oregon like this. Instead of giving all the tax rebates we're giving, instead of doing all the bonding we're doing and things like that, we ought to do these things. And I may well speak against this and vote against it on the floor. I'll give you a vote here.
Thank you very much, Senator. The motion is made then to incorporate the dash B8 amendments. Are there any objections? Recognizing that Senator Troll reserves the right to vote no at another time, we'll take that then as Senator Lynn, Senator Troll, Representative Hansen, Representative Lewis, and myself will incorporate the B8 amendments to 2001. Representative Lewis.
I would move House Bill 2001 being thus as amended by the B8 amendments to the full committee of the House recommendation.
Representative Lewis moves House Bill 201 with a due pass to the full House.
Same injunction. I'll give you this.
Thank you very much. Any other?
That's always an injunction that I reserve the right to get smarter a little bit later.
Mr. Chair?
I don't know that I'll ever get
later I was distracting. Could you explain to me or anyone that why it's January 2002? What's the justification for it? Because of the money issue?
That's in the original bill that's been struck now.
So that's been struck
now? That's been struck at this particular point.
Nothing to do it.
Oh.
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
It was going to take that long to develop and implement the voter registration system.
Okay, so when is the timeline?
Well, now it should take effect. All the other parts of it will take effect now when it's time to go off.
But they're not doing this. They just won't do the computer-based central electric registration file.
That was only one of the time period of 2000.
It's the one that cost money.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, we had budgeted $1.5 million for this project, but the Secretary of State said they can't do a portion of the project, so they had to have the whole $6 million or nothing at all. So he chose nothing at all. So that's why the bill didn't.
And going through the financing, all the financing schemes that we come out with, the $1.5 million could not, even with all the money that we could borrow against the system, and we could use certificates of participation, we just couldn't come out with sufficient cash to be able to put together. And that includes reserves to make sure it works too. I want to make sure that that's understood. The $5.9 million that we're talking about had ample reserves built in so that there was fail safe, similar to what we did with the PERS computer system. We didn't want to see it fail, so we implemented a piece at a time and dished out the money piece at a time. So this has the same kind of thing. Any?
It's unfortunate that we couldn't come up with the money. I think this is a very important issue in our state, especially after the 2000 the census. And we need to plan to implement this program as soon as possible.
And that's why we chose to move ahead with the bill, because it gives at least a platform to
to start from, and I guess the county's in the mode of the modified voting arrangement, which the voters brought in vote by mail, and they want to honor their request, and this cleans up the way for that to happen. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I think I'd like to make a comment. The Secretary of State did have this in his proposed budget, but the governor did not put it in his recommended budget, and the governor has done this in many other budgets, including what he did to the judicial branch, what he did to the Legislative Assembly's budget, and there does seem to be a bit of a disconnect between the executive branch and the other elected officials in the state, including the legislature, when we make proposed budgets. And I would hope that the executive branch, because I'm sure the Secretary of State will once again propose this next biennium, and I would hope that the executive branch would take it more seriously, I believe. And it's too bad we couldn't have started something with the $1.5 million, and I really, I have not had a chance to talk with Secretary of State Kiesling about why that should not be done, but it seems to me like it could have started the project, but apparently that could not be done for whatever reason. But I would encourage, the executive branch in the future to take some of these proposals by other branches and other elected officials more seriously, because this is an important, a statewide voter system would be extremely important to this state, and I too am sorry to see it have to be tabled for 2 years.
With that, the motion is that we go ahead then and approve for as a do-pass to the full Ways and Means House Bill 2001 with the -8 amendments included therein.
Let's do a roll call if we may, please.
Lewis?
Aye.
Hanson?
Aye.
Howe?
I'm voting aye this time.
Lynn?
Aye.
Butler?
Aye. So ordered the
Mr. Chair.
I beg your pardon. There's one more vote.
I'm in the door. I'm within the bar.
And I vote aye.
By the end of this process, I might be drinking something else.
Okay, it has already passed the House. We'll need a chair to the Senate.
Senator,
would you like to do that? Thank you very kindly, Senator. And for the full, I can say the full.
Thank you
very much. We'll now open the public hearing on House Bill 5. This is the public hearing. This is the work session. This is the work session on House Bill 5002. We'll open the House Bill 502 work session. Seems like just yesterday we were together on that, doesn't it? Nobody even snickered. I wasn't going to buy into that at all.
What happened yesterday?
You're not having that problem. I thought that was an accountant aging problem.
No, it happens with all. Was it yesterday?
Okay. Legislative Fiscal Georgine Bailey is handing out the memorandum from the Legislative Fiscal Office. Jane McKenna is our clerk for this session. And Georgine, can you please help remind us what it was that we did when we last met on
the in the memorandum that I just distributed, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon, I just distributed the memorandum, and in the background, I very grossly summarized the actions that were taken when the budget was heard before and passed out of Joint Ways and Means Committee, passed as it was passed by the House. We reduced the general fund amount by $243,500. We took the 4% reduction to other funds and amounted to $7,273,000 plus. These reductions and some other reductions created a reduction in gap assessments to other agencies of $2,410,000. That's all other funds in the DAS budget, but in other agencies that amounts to an estimated about $607,000. There were some reductions to other, various other packages that totaled $481,406 of other funds. There were some technical adjustments in the budget that caused increases amounting to $515,000 roughly in other funds. The changes that were made previously also resulted in elimination of package 241 that was in the Governor's Natural Resource Office relating to the Oregon Salmon Plan. We eliminated package 242, which was the package that created a position in the Washington, D.C. office of one position. Mark Delta mentioned that, and related to the Oregon Health Salmon Plan. Oregon Salmon Plan, package 241, there were three positions in there.
241, there were three positions?
Yes.
So we're restoring $340,000.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that part.
Okay, I beg your pardon.
I was sort of summarizing what was done.
I beg your pardon.
There was also $1.2 million in lottery funds for the geographic information systems that was eliminated. And we eliminated in its entirety the Office of Health, Planning, Policy, and Research. That was $1.5 million other funds, $1.5 million general funds, 19 positions, 15.23 FTE. There have been lots of discussions with the department and with the leadership and co-chairs, and the following recommendations, I think, meet with everyone's approval. In the Governor's Natural Resource Office, and these are revisions to House Bill 5002 as it was passed by the House, so all of the things I summarized, except what we're going to talk about now, will remain an adjustment. In the Governor's Natural Resource Office, I recommend restoring package 241. This is the package that dealt with the Oregon Family Plan. That's $340,999 general fund and one position. But that's part of that package, $184,824 general fund would be allocated to the emergency board as a special purpose allocation to the emergency board to cover the position in the salmon plan package that dealt with the Willamette River initiative.
Mr. Chair,
yes,
can you tell me, Georgine, why we're doing that? What's the purpose of putting that there rather than just going ahead and doing it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trull, I believe the issue was that there were some members of the Natural Resources Subcommittee that were had some concerns about the Willamette Restoration Initiative, and so this would allow the department to and the governor to meet with the interested parties and resolve those concerns and issues, and once that is done, then Department of Administrative Services, Governor's Natural Resource Office could come to the emergency board and get that money in that position.
And do we know what those concerns are?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I can't answer that.
Relative to the
sample,
I think it's a combination of the fact that the G-Web and the O-Web have monies that are funding positions in various places, and perhaps someone from the Department of Administrative Office could go ahead and give us a full scoop. I've just got a shorthand version.
Give us a full scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Schroeder, for the record, I'm Louise Holliday with the Governor's Natural Resources Office. There has been an ongoing concern raised by the Joint Salmon Committee with regard to the way that the Willamette Restoration Initiative was established through executive order by the governor. We have had several conversations with the co-chairs of that committee, Representative Messerly and Senator Ferrioli, about how to resolve those issues, and the governor met with a group of legislators to talk about this issue earlier this week, and I think we're going to get to a resolution. The governor has indicated a willingness to amend the executive order, and I think this putting this in the e-board is to let that process conclude before the funds are released to fund this position.
Your conclusion, this is a positive development, this is not a negative development.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, we would prefer to have the money coming out of the session, but understand that we're still working through the concerns that were raised by members of the legislature, and I think we will get to a satisfactory conclusion, and we'll come to the E-Board at the first opportunity to release those
this
funds.
This is not a way of just denying the money.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I would hope not.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sauer. I appreciate it. Any further questions for Ms. Sauer while she's here before us? This is an important, very important issue. I know that another committee is working full-time on this issue. This is not something to be taken lightly. You're obviously 99% of your time and energy has gone into this issue, Ms. Sauer. So I want to make sure that as we make this move to restore this portion of 241, we do so with the understanding that the Willamette portion is still being sorted through.
Right. That's alive and kicking. It's a matter of concern over the details.
That's a chicken. It's swimming up upstream right now.
Okay.
So it's making headway. Appears to be anyway.
Mr. Chair, if I just might ask a question of clarification, because I think we've had this discussion going on back here. I heard committee staff say that of the $340,000 that's being restored, $180,000 is going into the E-Board. Is it $340,000 is being restored and $180,000 is going into the emergency board? Okay, thank you.
Yes, those two added together are the total amount that is in the package 241.
Thank you for that clarification.
So the entire package is being restored. A portion is just being reserved back for that, or unscheduled for a gas can go ahead and schedule it and work it through the E-Board and then schedule it.
Mr. Chairman, this is me. That's not. There is about $457,000 that is being cut from that package.
Oh, okay. I beg your pardon.
The total package originally in the governor's budget was $983,000 plus general fund, and what we have here is about $500,000.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
a question about the cuts there. Can you do the essence of the program with the money that's now available?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, the majority of the cut that is taking place is a $400,000 request to fund a legal fund for the Oregon plan. The fund has been created in House Bill 3225, and what we've agreed is if we need legal funds for that program, we would come to the emergency board and request those funds in the interim, and that we don't need to do a budget allocation given we have no idea how many people might use that or agencies might need that at this point.
The reason for the legal funds, Scott, is to sort out issues between the federal and the OWEB plan, is that right, or the federal mandate?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the legal fund was created to provide resources to defend agencies and individuals who may be sued under the Clean Water Act or the Endangered Species Act, who are in compliance with the Oregon plan and complying with state regulations. So we wanted to provide some coverage for those folks in the legal arena, given that we believe the Oregon plan is our plan to recover our settlements and clean up our waters under both of those federal statutes.
So they would be meeting the obligations of the Oregon plan, but this is a question of the interpretation of the EPA regulations relative to the Clean Water Act.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And there are two possible scenarios for litigation. One is for either of the federal agencies or either of three federal agencies, the EPA, the National Marine Fisheries Service, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, to take an enforcement action, or both acts contain third-party lawsuit provisions. So it could be a citizen's lawsuit as well.
Oh, was the third one, EPA, National Marine Fisheries?
And the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, who does ESA listings of resident fish and wildlife species.
Okay.
further questions, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
When you say restore package number 241, shouldn't you say restore part of package 241?
For a portion of the package.
Mm-hmm.
And then House Bill 3225 of the legal fund certified would be available for that legal fund, which was to be set aside a portion of the reserves, would accommodate for a portion of the restoration of that same package as well. I'm not sure that makes it 100% whole. I haven't gone back to the 3225. Please continue.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we're down to package number 242. This was the package that established the Washington, D.C. office with one full-time position. That was $225,420 general fund in that package.
Is that the full package or is that part of it?
That's the full package. The next one, increase or allocate $200,000 general fund to cover geographic information systems cost of collecting data related to the Salmon Plan. If you recall, and as I said up above, that originally in the governor's budget was $1.2 million of lottery funds. They removed the lottery funds, and we're recommending putting back $200,000 of general fund just for that data collection.
Any questions relative to the restoration? I know the GIS has been discussed, and that's in the being used by many state agencies. The information is being gleaned from the GIS, and the $1.2 million from lottery fund. Leaves more reserve in the lottery, and we are using $200,000 general fund in lieu there. But, and then there's that gives us some opportunity to continue to use the GIS system that Mr. Maggiotti is working with various agencies on still, I believe, as we speak, to make sure that the GIS will work at federal and state agency level in many, many facets, the overlays.
It's a package 241. Is this the lottery fund?
Mr. Chair, Senator Reno, this is general.
And also this $100,000 also general fund. Why couldn't they put it together? Why did they put in a different category for general fund going into the salmon plan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, the $200,000 is for the geographic information system, the automated mapping and data collection, and it's collecting data that's useful for the salmon plan, but it's different than and separate from the actual work that's being done to restore the Willamette and other efforts on the salmon plan.
Probably as much as anything, it almost becomes a subsidy in effect to help get the system up and running in part. We recognize the value of it for many agencies of state and federal government, but it may not be self-paying even at the end of the biennium.
Mr. Chair, is this $100,000, is this an ongoing program, or where is the position to get this job done?
GIS, Senator Lim, is a long-term investment that we're making as a state in the Department of Administrative Services so that maps will be available for the Department of Revenue, for wildlife, fish, watersheds, and those kinds of things, natural resources. This will be widely used in our tour of the Department of Revenue. I think we saw the overlays that they were using, which is also part of the GIS system, which will help with taxation issues, part of the overall property taxation, assessment taxation will benefit from this. So this is a long-term commitment by the state to move forward with the GIS system.
Okay. Did you say long term? How long are they?
The long term commitments?
Yeah.
Well, my recollection, yeah, how long is it? How long is a piece of rope, I guess, is the way to answer that. I would hope that it would be valuable enough information that we could supply this to federal agencies and as well as use it within our states and counties, cities, and so forth, and assist us long term with many, many issues. One thing that impressed me about Mr. Maggiotti's approach was that his approach was more dynamic than it was static. In other words, as the needs increase, then we can enhance the system, and the information can be filtered. I think the filtration system that they told us over in the Department of Revenue was that they could use as many as 64 layers deep of the information to help them with their assessment taxation.
Yeah, that can help me much. Long term and many, that you must understand the issue. But anyway, that's fine, Mr. Chair.
Other maps in parts, and they just go on for as long as we, until a new system comes up of mapping, I guess.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the committee, we're ready to talk about the Office of Health Plan Policy Research. As you recall, in the prior action taken, we completely eliminated both general fund and federal and other funds for this, as well as all the positions. The intent was to allow this to be discussed in another subcommittee together with all of the costs of the original plan. The recommendation here is to restore the office at $1,312,491 general fund and $1,510,971 of other funds, with 17 positions, that's 13.23 FTE. Basically, the difference between the governor's budget as it was presented and discussed during public hearings and this recommendation is simply a $250,000 general fund reduction from the governor's budget. That will cause the office to reduce their staff by two positions and two FTE.
Now, but 13.23 is the net after the reduction.
That is correct.
Okay.
Was it 17 positions then or 15?
No, it's 17. Originally, they had 19 positions and 15.23 FTE, and I think that's because some of those positions are filled with part-time people who work part-time.
That's down to 17.
Okay. Representative Hansen is recognized. What will we
lose in terms of service level with this reduction? It's one thing to count the bodies, but what are the bodies doing, or what won't they be doing with, if they're not there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I'm not sure I can supply that. Most of the office, a lot of the office does data collection and research, and I would. If Teresa better answer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I think the way we would look at this is that if we would have our druthers, we would have left the positions whole and transfer instead of general fund, take a $250,000 cut in the general fund, but add that in the other funds and let us try and find resources for that. Without that, we will actually have to take a couple of position cuts. The revenues aren't there, the people aren't there. And it is research. It is looking at national information, what's going on in other states, what's going on with our own plan and the statistics. And I think the office is going to sit down and talk about how they have to really reorganize to make sure that that there's a clear prioritization and that the lowest priority research that's being done doesn't happen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think this is an oversight on my part. It was a $250,000 general fund reduction, but the discussions that were had with all the parties included an increase in the other funds limitation of $250,000 with the positions transferred to the other funds. So
If I may restate the recommendation, it's 1,312,000 general fund and 1,760,000 other funds. And the positions would be the same, right, as in the governor's budget. 19 positions and 17.23 FTE.
So the net two positions are no longer general fund funded.
No, they would be other funds by the other funds.
Other
funds.
That's correct. Yeah. Representative Leonard.
We have a budget report measures summary dated May 28th. It lays out the 97.99 actual expenditures, 99.41. In the location, just from the governor's budget. We're going to get anything like that with the current recommendations before we vote, so we can actually do a side-by-side comparison of each of these line items.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, generally the budget report is done after the committee has made its decisions, but the budget report will be revised to include the numbers that I'm giving you, if that's what the committee votes for.
I'm just thinking in terms of, I'm glad we're going to test and ask the question, because I don't know what the effect would have been if we'd have voted on these recommendations in this memorandum about the other fund increase of $250,000. And we normally don't get something before we vote in sub. It's a side-by-side comparison of the governor's recommended budget versus LFOs.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, the spreadsheet that I usually do, I did not get done this time because the decisions were, discussions were continuing up until about 15 minutes before the subcommittee met, but I can certainly provide that for everybody.
I'd be uncomfortable voting on this until we have something like that. So we made sure we didn't have any. I'm not criticizing, I understand if we're open up to them, it's understandable, but it's also understandable for us to want to make sure we know that what we're holding on is accurate.
I will get that to you.
Okay, so we have then the restoration of the general funds of $1.3 million and the other funds of $1.76 million.
Yes.
Okay.
And the positions exactly the same as they were in the governor's budget. The next one is the community development office. If you will recall, that was seven positions, and for regional coordinators with the reductions that the agency agreed to and the 4% reduction, that left six regional coordinators in package 101. The only recommendation here is to change those regional coordinator positions to limited duration money and everything and staff work. As it was approved, it's just the same that was $481,436,000 general fund and $1,471,000 other funds. Total funds of $1.5 million and six positions. The other item related to community development office is the budget note that was approved in other community solutions team department budget. It's attached right behind my memorandum, and it was placed in the budget reports of housing, economic development, land conservation development, environmental policy, and transportation. And it reads as follows.
the State Community Solutions Team, which consists of the five state agencies, agency directors, Housing, Economic Development, Land Conservation Development, Environmental Quality, and Transportation, shall meet biweekly to solve community development problems and break down institutional barriers between levels of government. Further, the legislature believes regional community solutions teams, consisting of selected field representatives of these five agencies, should be convened to meet at least monthly, more often as local issues arise, and work closely at the local level on solving problems and representing state community development interests early in local projects and issues. The five agencies must cooperate and supply sufficient, qualified, and empowered staff to support the community solutions team efforts. These regional field staff shall have clear and direct access to their respective directors and the necessary authority to solve problems at the local level. In addition, the legislature supports establishing regional coordinators who will coordinate regional team efforts, will have direct access to the executive and director's offices, and will bring in other agencies as necessary to ensure that issues are addressed or problems are solved.
What problems are we talking about?
These are things that come up when communities want to develop something, and there might be a transportation issue and a zoning issue, a land DLCD issue, and rather than have to go first to one agency and then another agency and then another agency to solve the problems that relate to those agencies individually, the team comes together and attempts to solve those collectively without in conjunction with the local agency so that they don't have this linear kind of situation.
Okay. Now, by bi-weekly, do you mean twice a week? That's what that means. Do you mean...
I thought it meant
every week. Every 2 weeks. That's what it means, really.
Why
don't you check out and see what bi-weekly means. I was thinking twice a week.
No,
biannual means twice a year. Biennial means every 2 years.
Okay, I'll get the right word. Supposed to be every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not twice a week.
Anybody here wants to challenge the challenge for twice a week? That's you. I'm buying.
No, I've been
all
wrong.
All right, you've got objection.
I've been wrong. I've been wrong.
Why don't we say for me every 2 weeks?
Okay.
So we don't have to have a college professor come in and tell us what time we're supposed to say.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the last item on my recommendations is under the heading Other, and this is to add $450,000 general fund to the Department of Administrative Services. They will act as a conduit for a grant to the Grants Pass Irrigation District for costs related to the design, manufacture, installation, and maintenance of fish screens to improve fish passage at the Savage Rapids Dam with conditions. And attached to your package are the Emergency Board minutes of September 18, 1998. That's when this issue was approved by the Emergency Board. The money was appropriated in the current binding 9799, and it will be disappropriated and reappropriated to Dennis in 9901 for this purpose.
So that the fish screens that were approved at the Emergency Board back in September, DAS will have the oversight and the money will be restored to their budget from what previously been allocated through the Eagle.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Trump.
Representative Leonard.
What is the reason behind the state funding out of the general fund the payment to an irrigation district to fish things?
In part, it was an Emergency Board decision to do that. I attended that Emergency Board that was presented in two different portions. I think there was some compelling reason to try and get that done to make sure that the certain wildlife were not thrown on the endangered species list any faster than they had to be. They needed to get those screens on there on that dam before the smoke were coming down or back up in the spring, and
It was my understanding that that's what that was all about. Now,
let me clarify my question. My question isn't the reason for installing the screens. I understand that. My question is more, why isn't the Grants Pass Irrigation District and its various constituents responsible for that cost as opposed to the entire state?
Again, my recollection is that the agreement was that if there was anything that was restored to them from other sources, and I'm not sure that this reflects that, but it was part of the testimony at that time at the emergency board that if there were other funds available that came available to the Grants Pass Irrigation District from National Marine Fishery or anyone else, that they would restore this money back to the general fund. And there was a compelling reason to get this done. Again, this is a state authorized facility, and there was a concern that if they didn't move forward with it, that there was some damage, public damage, that would be done relative to the listing of some species. And again, my recollection is from that e-board that if there were other funds that came from any source, grant funds or federal government funds or whatever, then those would be restored to the state. Now, as what's happened between that time and this, I don't know that I can say.
That's still not really the question I'm asking. For an example, in Portland, we have urban streams now that we're recognizing because of culverts under various highways and whatnot are not allowing steelhead and salmon to migrate. I'm trying to think of the Johnson Creek, for an example, that 162nd Foster we discovered is blocked in terms of the culvert there. As I remember, it's a $4 or $5 million project. As I understand it, those of us that live in the city put that bill. Why is it, what's the difference between that and this irrigation district having the state pick up the cost to make the waters friendly for salmon and steelhead? I'm asking more of the policy question.
I appreciate. I think there was an emergency existed at the time, and at the time the emergency board took the action. And they felt like that by moving on this kind of an action, that number one, that they could perhaps intervene on behalf of a listing of some of those species that they were trying to protect. And number two, I think that the people in the district, this particular Savage Rapid Dam Irrigation District, did not have the resources to do it at that time, and were seeking federal grant funds and other grant funds. So the public purpose would be to try and keep species from being listed, and there was some emergency that existed at the time.
Louise, do you have any insight into why we're doing this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I'm not sure I can provide any insight other than to go through the sequence of events. Coho were listed in the Rogue Basin where the Savage Rapids Dam is currently exists, and the dam, the National Marine Fisheries Service has indicated that it believes the dam takes that listed species. And so the Grants Pass Irrigation District was looking for a way to reduce or eliminate the take while the negotiations over an alternative to the Savage Rapids Dam continued. Those discussions are ongoing. The original $450,000 was appropriated by the Emergency Board to the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board. I think the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board has statutory requirements beyond the conditions that the emergency board put on those funds that did not allow the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board to release those funds in the current biennium. So this move is to, they've already disappropriated the money to the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board in this morning's budget action on the new OWEB budget and would reappropriate it to DAS so that they would have that money available. The the conditions that were placed on, I haven't seen what's in front of you, originally dealt with making sure that the designs had been consulted on by ODFW and the National Marine Fisheries Service, and if they got other funds, that they would return those funds. If for some reason they didn't put the screens in, those funds would be returned to the state. In terms of the policy decision, I believe these are the same conditions that were on the original emergency board. So this was done with those conditions placed on it, and I think this is an attempt to continue those conditions so that if those screens do not occur because there is a successful conclusion to the negotiations that would result in dam removal or some other alternative that doesn't require the screens to go in, that they would not then use those funds.
My question is more, is this something that is not uncommon that the state would appropriate money to a district made up of citizens who have certain responsibilities within that district, and so that we're actually granting a gift over and above what they have decided to tax themselves on that irrigation district?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I guess in terms of a direct appropriation, it may be different. However, there are lots of state cost share programs where there are state resources provided for fish screening. I know the culvert that you spoke to, they made a request to the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board for a portion of the funding, not the full amount. They weren't successful, so there are lots of ways that folks could access state funds for these sorts of things.
Why didn't that happen here? Why weren't those kinds of applications made here?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I can't answer that question.
Does that have anything to do with the President of the Senate doing some kind of tax?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I can't answer that question.
Senator Crowe's recommended. Does the $250,000 pay for the entire cost for all of it? $450,000. Does it pay for the entirety of the cost?
Mr. Chair, I think I can answer that question, Senator Crowe. I believe that they had a bid that came in at this price tag.
This will pay for getting the fish screens in place.
Right, okay. If the fish screens are in place, then does that secure them with the dam itself? Or is the dam still likely to be removed?
Mr. Chair, Representative Crowe, that is still a matter of negotiations, and there's a gag order on those negotiations, so I can't tell you what the status is, but I believe...
Tell me with whom the negotiations are.
There are several parties who are involved in those negotiations, but the main discussions are between the Water Resources Department and the Grants Pass Irrigation Districts, the National Marine Fisheries Service at the table, and several others who have joined in the litigation are also at the table.
Okay, I think it's a legitimate question. One, we're going to spend this money to build some fish ladders. What kind of effect is that going to have? And is it going to secure the dam? And if not, if the dam's going to go out, it looks like it's a waste of the money to spend it. So if it secures it, maybe it's okay, but maybe the dam ought to go away. I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, those are good policy questions. Let me try this. If the screens are appropriately designed and implemented, they certainly would, on a temporary basis, reduce the take of a listed species. Your question about whether we should invest dollars in a temporary solution when a permanent solution may result in the ultimate dam removal, although that hasn't been agreed to, is a question for you all to make a decision about appropriating this money.
$450,000 is a lot of money. And we just aren't able to do something with the Secretary of State because we can't find enough money. We could piece a little pieces like this together and get the Secretary of State enough money if it made sense to do that. Maybe it makes sense to spend this money here, but we don't have enough money for schools or a whole lot of other things.
Representative Hanson.
Has this expenditure been heard before any of the other committees? Has there been a discussion on this in water and environment or natural resources? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, other than the disappropriation that occurred in the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board appropriations bill this morning, I'm not aware that there's been a policy discussion. That discussion took place at the e-board level, emergency board level during the interim.
Yes, my concern is that if $450,000 expenditure coming, just being raised this late in the session, in this final budget negotiation, doesn't seem to me a good way to air public policy. It's sort of smells like pork, but for some other need of an appropriate flavor. But I think that's a breakdown. If this is a recommendation from the Salmon and Endangered Species Committee or one of the water committees, I feel a lot more comfortable with it.
I just recall to the attention of members that this was, in fact, appropriated in the September 18, 1998 meeting of the emergency board, and what's happening now is it's just being modified and moved around. It's already been appropriated out of the last biennium's reserve.
So the money is already there, is that the same?
The money is
already there. So this is not money we could use because
it's already been in the prior budget, and it was set aside in the reserve for the emergency. There was an emergency that arose. There was lengthy discussion both in the subcommittee and in the full committee, and the action of the full committee, the action of the subcommittee was to recommend a due pass to basically to proceed with this emergency. My recollection was that, and I'm just trying to go through the minutes, my recollection was that it was going to take rather considerable time if they were to use the regular funding method, rather considerable time just to get the engineering design. And they had within their own purview and the information that they had on hand, they had designs that had been approved for other cohorts, so they didn't need to go through a major design, but they indicated that if it came in under budget, that they would do certain other things. They would return those funds back to the state, and if they qualified for other repayment grant amounts and those kinds of things, or if court orders that the district not install additional fish screens, then the district needs to repay the grants to the state of Oregon, according to the mailing. So we're not, as I say, Representative Hansen, with this smells of pork, I want you to know this well aged.
Mr. Chair, I might just add to that. If you weren't taking this action in a normal budget scenario, these are funds that the Governor's Watershed Enhancement Board already has in its budget as a result of the emergency board action, and we would have requested a carryover of those funds into the current biennium to allow us to extend those funds when the Grants Pass Irrigation District met the emergency board requirements as well as the Governor's Watershed Investment Board.
So as far as you're concerned, they're comfortable with this.
As comfortable as you're going to get from that
stuff, right? Mr. Chair?
Senator Lemon's recommendation.
This is $450,000. They're going to put the fish screen, regardless whether the service reacted then to remove the one up, or are they going to kind of decision on this then, and are they going to go ahead? Which one is coming first?
Yeah. That's a great question. I would have thought those fish screens, based upon, I guess they were concerned about the smolt, and then I don't know if the return was the problem. The screens were to keep the smolt out of the irrigation system, is my recollection. And
not a fish ladder for returning fish. It's literally the smolts keeping them out of the irrigation system.
Right, so not sucked up.
Cleans them out of the
field. Right, right.
That's my understanding of it. So,
but the timing is perplexing because it was my understanding that the timing was to accommodate the spring runs, but there was also some testimony at the time that it looked like it would go on for quite some period of time if they didn't have an emergency appropriation so that they could go ahead and do the engineering and the manufacturing and so forth. They would miss out on the cycle of the return of the smoke coming down and then the return and those kinds of things was a 2 or 3 year cycle, and the whole process was going to take much longer than what there was time available. Is my recollection of it.
So, Mr. Chair, these screens have not been already constructed and are not in place today. So we have missed the spring smoke run, or no? No, because the fish are returning, laying eggs, smolts are hatching, and these will be flowing outward during the fall, correct?
We are going to miss them if we don't get on the ball. We're not on the ball.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, I do not cover this issue for our office directly, but I believe the National Marine Fisheries Service gave the irrigation district, an okay to continue to operate last year without the screens because this discussion was continuing on the design. And so I believe they were given an okay by the National Marine Fisheries Service, and the service did not take an enforcement action against the district for not having screens in this past year.
That doesn't bode well for the future if they don't have them.
It's a recurring problem every year, so.
Okay. Do you envision having the screens in place if we get this money by next time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I can't answer that question. And that part of it is I don't know where they are in the negotiations process and what's going to come out of that. And that's a decision that the district is going to need to make.
Question.
Representative Chair, in the negotiations process, as I'm understanding, and I'm not privy to this, but I'm understanding that if there's going to be removal of the dam that's required, there's going to be economic remuneration at various levels, either through the National Marine Fisheries Service or the state or both. That is, as I'm understanding, that's part of the negotiation.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, I'm not privy to those negotiations, but I believe you are correct that there are a number of issues on the table, including alternatives and how to pay for them.
Okay. So that leads me then to the conclusion that if, in fact, based on the conditions that are laid forth in the E-Board meetings here, in terms of the irrigation district repaying the money back to the state, because essentially what we're doing is giving them short-term loans.
It's a loan.
It's a grant,
but it's under the conditions that if they qualify for some of the money to repay it, they have to. Okay, so my point is that it is a concern that I have that we give them $450,000. They say they got to remove the dam. Have we just thrown away $450,000? No, I don't believe we have, because I believe part of the negotiations will be to repay the state the $450,000 we spent on districts. So that sounds
like a writing, Jersey.
And there's a gag order on it. So
I share your concern, but I think the negotiations will handle that issue. And should handle that issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Representative
I thought you were going to provide the info.
You're going to try to escape. I just when I've seen this is the job description for the position on the WRI coordinator. One of the questions, my memory is correct, didn't we fund during the interim an extension, someone from extension to coordinate the Willamette Valley area between the governor's office and the legislature and the stakeholders that we were working in the valley?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, not that I recall, there was an extension position which was funded as a part of the Steelhead Supplement Emergency Board action in January of last year that was it's an extension person to coordinate between the extension programs and what's going on with the Oregon plan statewide. It's not a Willamette position. That's the only extension position that I can recall was approved in the interim.
Obviously, it was broader, but on the other hand, I can't identify who that person since we've been here in the legislature. I've not seen anyone testify that identified themselves in that manner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, I think the person who is in that position currently is Derek Godwin, who used to be in the South, in your area, for extension, who has now moved into that centralized position, and I believe he's housed at the Natural Resource Center in St. Louis.
This position, Mr. Chair, if I follow up. Is this position going to replace the Barnegat Power individual that's presently?
Mr. Chair, that's Representative Messerly, that's correct.
And how much other support staff is in the WRI office?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, directly in the Willamette Restoration Initiative office, they have an executive director on staff, and beyond that, I think they have a couple of people on contract.
So is this position housed in the governor's office then or in the WRI office?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, this would be a position housed in our office.
And I noticed in the job description, some language placed on between the governor's office and legislature, assembly, and there's other references reporting to the legislature. Is there a procedure set up and how that would be structured?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, we would, once we get that person on board, work with the appropriate interim committees to develop a regular reporting system.
Does everyone have a copy of the description, the job description? And
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Chair,
a follow-up with Representative Messerly's question. And this all sounds really good, okay, and it's a nice argument. How are we going to judge in 2 years if this position has been effective and if we've gotten our money's worth as taxpayers?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, I would expect that the legislature, if they're not satisfied with how we've used this position in the 2 year in the current biennium, that we will hear about it. But I expect that we will do regular reporting to the appropriate interim committees. This particular staff person will be reporting, make sure that we are addressing the concerns of the legislature, making that connection between the legislature and the Willamette Restoration Initiative in this biennium.
And another question, follow up there, if I may, is this person going to be also working, I would think, in regards to the NIST listings in the Willamette River in terms of coordination of that effort?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, one of the things we would expect is that they would work with state and federal agencies, and with the federal agencies being listing entities, it would be very important that they serve as a liaison to the National Marine Fisheries Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, EPA, the other federal agencies who have listings or other issues in the basin.
Chair, I just want to state for the record that I farm along the Willamette River and also the Muddy Creek Irrigation Project, which is water that is pumped in the summertime out of the McKenzie River, which flows into the Willamette. The Muddy Creek flows into the Willamette at Saltfish Island, Senator. So this issue is very important to me in my ability to be economically viable as a farmer in terms of irrigation. So it would be, I'd like to request that whoever this individual is, I'd personally like to be apprised of their activities as a legislator so that I can understand what it is they're trying to accomplish on my behalf as a taxpayer in regards to the issues that we're trying to achieve here in this job description.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, we'd be glad to have that person do that.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And crap, anybody that pumps water out of Muddy Creek or farms along Muddy Creek has to see the beauty of the rivers that you just mentioned, the Willamette and others, being very careful about Muddy Creek.
I would like to also state for the record, Mr. Chair, that we don't have any salmon or chinook or coho or anything of that nature in Muddy Creek because it's simply too muddy for them. They don't like it. They don't come up there.
How many natural resource plateaus will the governor have with his request after this banning, if they're all funded, and compare that to what we had in the past meeting? And I realize it's hard because some of them came from forestry and ADFW. But when you pull all, we tried to bring that all in so it was one staff or from one source. Can you compare whether we're increasing staff, decreasing staff, or in the supplemental?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, I think the net effect of all of the budget actions will be a zero-sum gain. There have been two budget actions that eliminated funding and or positions that we currently have or use in the governor's office. That's an action in the Department of Forestry budget that removes funding for a position we have there, and the action on the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board budget, which will take Ken Beerley's position, which is now at Ag, put it at OWEB. It will no longer be a governor's office position. So we will lose those two positions. This will pick up two positions. Kevin, the D.C. office, the Kevin Smith position, is just a movement from economic development directly into our budget. So I think we'll end up with the exact same number of staff we currently have.
But the work in D.C. office was up. So as far as FTE, you're going to be gaining one or two?
Mr. Chair, Representative Messerly, in terms of directly within the governor's natural resources office, we will gain three positions. That is the Washington, D.C. Position, the Willamette position, and the Healthy Streams Partnership position, those two that are part of Package 241. We will have lost two positions that are out in other agencies.
Thank you very much. Other questions on the salary while she's there? Okay, we'll continue. Let's see. You've gone through the Community Solutions team budget note. Were there any other questions on the Community Solutions team? This makes the Community Solutions team budget note equal to the other budget notes relative to the Community Solutions team. The Community Solutions team budget notes, which we have in the transportation, and I can't speak for, we have it in housing and economic development, we have it in those two agencies, so that's three of the agencies, but I can't speak for the same budget note in LCDC and DEQ.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's my understanding that this budget note is in the budget reports of all five agencies.
Okay, all right. So this then makes that uniform regarding the Community Solutions team. I think if I haven't alluded to it in the past, in this, I certainly have in Transportation and Economic Development, and that is I have served as a member of the Community Solutions team as a county participant, and I would have to say that this is a very effective method. The only critique I had of the prior report, which was given by Greg Wolf of the governor's office, when he was talking about the great job that they did, was the communications at the governor's staff level, department staff level, all of that was covered. What he failed to bring out was that it also gets local governments to communicate one with another, something that sometimes we don't do very well without someone who is professional at communication.
and the facilitation that comes with a community solutions team. And we all of a sudden discovered in our small community in Eastern Oregon that the county and the cities had many of the same kinds of concerns. And we all had been talking about the concerns, but nobody had heard each other's concerns until we sat down in a solution team format and really had this. And these folks, I admire the work they do. I strongly endorse the work that they do. I think the governor is absolutely on the right track, and I commend the governor and his staff on that. This assists in this particular footnote, budget note, approves the budget, the concept of the community solutions team in this budget note, and I just found them to be extremely helpful. And now the ultimate paragraph gives them the necessary clear and direct access to decision making, and that was something that we didn't ever really understand or perhaps even have in some of the first levels, and through the good offices of Greg Wolf on the governor's staff and other members of the staff, these people come imbued and endowed with sufficient power to come and say yes or no. And then we knew that we could go ahead and proceed with something where previously we always got some real definite maybes, and that wasn't necessarily what we were after. So, sure. Representative Mitchell.
I totally agree with you. I think this process has an awful lot of potential. I also have seen a downside of it, where the agencies use this to hold up efforts by local government, and then there's one example of the Florence issue where, in my opinion, there was actually some turf battles between DLCD, ODOT, and other agencies. I think that's a case that hopefully a lot of people have learned from. I think it has the potential, though, to get everyone in the same room, the local people, the state agencies, and figure out what the goals are and what's potential and help them reach those goals and reach their what they're trying to accomplish. I'm very positive on this, but I think we do have to watch it as a legislative body and make sure that it does have the proper focus and that it's a positive in some kind of community.
And the directive of the budget note provides that are instituted for the specific purpose of breaking down those institutional barriers between the various levels of government through these various meetings, meeting and reporting one to another, and I believe where there are other support teams. Let's see, if we have other activities ongoing by an agency within an area where a community solutions team is at work, then there to report on that. Is that in this? I don't see that in this budget note that they report if there's a work group ongoing for a specific project. They also meet with that work group. I think that was in the ODOT, that wherever ODOT was involved, because they were usually had DEQ and DLCD and ODOT all together, that if there was a project in process, that they would meet also the community solutions team leaders, or the there would be a report frequently back and forth amongst those folks too. So I don't see that particular language, but in those agencies where they are in the process of some construction or those kinds of things, that was contemplated in those other. I don't think you folks in the DASH are going to do much construction, no new roads or anything of that nature. So this is perhaps the appropriate language at this particular level. I think we did have some additional language, particularly in the transportation, that had them meet more frequently, or at least periodically, with the actual construction foreman, or there was a different team level, of a different group of people that were involved.
Sure, I like this approach. I guess I would caution a little bit, though, that
that you can't solve everybody's problem with something like this. Somebody's problem, it's a personal problem that they want to develop something. They feel very intensely about it. But then there are the problems if that development occurs that it makes for all the neighbors around, or for the transportation, or for all those interrelated things. And so I just would caution you that you can't solve everybody's problems.
Your point is well taken, Senator, and I think that the community solutions are not one-size-fits-all necessarily, but...
Or it's not coercion to the agencies just to give in and to reduce their rules and rights.
Okay. Anything further in your recommendations, George?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there's one item I need to correct. Going back to the Government Natural Resource Office package 241.
To the restoration of the $340,999?
Yeah, there was a discussion and an agreement, and I failed to get it in this memo, an additional reduction of $75,000 general fund. So if everyone would change that $340,000 figure to $265,999, then we would all be on the same.
Of course, that's really significant. What happened?
I believe the significant parties have talked about it, and this is, I understand, it's something they can live with.
It just happened?
Well, it didn't. It happened before I came in here. I just failed to get it in my mind.
I think it's okay.
Mr. Chair, if you would like, what I can do is reiterate the corrections, the actual changes to the memo.
Would you like us to hand these so while you make sure that that's I know that there's quite a worksheet that comes with that. What's your question?
What I would recommend or suggest for the committee's consideration is to make sure that everybody has changed their copy of the memo so that we all have the same figures.
Okay.
And then I could do this spreadsheet and bring it back tomorrow so that everybody can look at it. If they would rather have the spreadsheet before they vote, I could do that. Or if they're comfortable with having changed the figures and understanding that these are in addition to the changes that were before. So on under Governor's Natural Resource Office, you just made the change to $265,999. Mm-hmm. Under Office of Health Plan Policy and Research, that should read this way. Restore the office with $1,312,491 general fund. Changed $1,760,971. You need to change that figure to
other funds.
And 19 positions, 15.23 FTE. This is a $250,000 general fund reduction and an increase of $250,000 in other funds. Expenditure limitation.
So that then becomes 15.23. So there's a full restoration of all positions because of the increase in other funds of $250,000.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this gives the total fund for the Office of Health Plan Policy and Research identical to what it was in the governor's budget.
Okay.
And those are the changes.
Are there any other questions of Ms. Bailey at this time? I know that we have some other questions that have come up in the interim relative to issues dealing with a number of issues, and I think probably all of the issues that we had originally discussed are back before us for discussion. If there are questions, I think Representative Messerly had a question relative to collections, and I think this may be an appropriate time. Probably ought to get the point on where Teresa is able to put them on the record and say all the good things they're going to do with the election.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have had some discussion today about the accounts receivable. from different state agencies, and I have not heard that discussed throughout the session this year, and I'm wondering, do we have a handle on that? Do the departments all track that? And how big is it a problem, and how big a problem is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mesley, I have not, and I'm just on this call for the record, I'm Teresa McKee from the Department of Administrative Services. I have not been intentionally involved with that, but I can give you a little bit of an overview of where we are. Agencies each have their own. The problem we have in this arena was that somebody asked us about the department, can you give us an overall view of state government? Our accounting system did not have that ability to do that. So I think you did see a variation between agencies, both in record keeping and in their ability to do it. And in some places they were doing a very good job, and others there was room for improvement. And that's why we agreed and said, yes, this is an area we could improve. And given our new accounting structure, both from our state controllers division did work on the legislation in that area. And I think that regardless of what happens, it's an area we're going to now have the ability to do more tracking and get a handle on statewide.
And I'm not trying to be tricky. You've seen this report. I have not read it. I just had a hand to
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Mesley, I have not seen that. Now, John Yunker may have seen that. I'm not sure.
The report is out, Mr. Chair. It was done by Jim Markey and Associates, the Collection Association. And that's an area that could have significant impact on our budgeting process, and I'd like to have that information at least for our next session.
Did they hire it out with somebody to contract to do that?
I don't think they've been doing that himself.
I'm not sure.
I think it's probably done as a result of a bill that's pending, I believe that the issue of the pending bill is relative to directing the state through the Department of Administrative Services to assist with some of the oversight and then work with the Department of Revenue as well in some of the collection process, because the Department of Revenue, even justice issues come through the Department of Revenue. I need to make sure that the record is clear that I have had some conversations with Director Yunker and as well as the Department of Revenue Director Harchenko relative to the issues and concerns raised by the I believe it's the Collections Association, an association of the folks that have collectors throughout the state. And right now, statutorily, most of the things that the bill that's out there, and I'm sorry, I can't tell you the number of the bill. I have looked at the bill, however. I've seen it in the last week, I think. But it was about 10 days ago that I did check with Director Harchenko and Director Yunker. And most of the items that they want to accomplish are already part of the job responsibility or job description of both the Department of Revenue and the Department of Administrative Services to be able to marshal these kinds of things. One of the concerns that we had was that some of the equipment, the machinery, and as Representative Messerly was explaining, some of the machinery and equipment is not compatible. The Department of Revenue has a separate silo of computer bank equipment, separate from the Department of Human Resources, separate from the Department of Transportation, and maybe at least one other that's totally separate from the balance of government. And this is Mr. Maggiore takes this very, very seriously, his responsibility charge to try and get all of these various pieces of machinery to coordinate and cooperate and communicate one with another so that it will facilitate the collection of these accounts receivable. I personally am concerned about the issues. I haven't read the report. But about
what do you see the report? Is it something that's made available for everybody? Have you already gotten it?
I just read one today.
I don't think it's confidential, though, in any way, shape, or form that I'm aware of.
It couldn't be because I got that.
Oh,
yeah. First today. Well, maybe you came to my office. I haven't been there today.
I got mine yesterday.
Yeah.
Hey.
Sure,
as I understand, I'm not ready to report, but it's something like well over $1 billion has not been received. And of that, if my memory is correct, $1.1 billion is not passive. Some of it was a child support, which would be passive. But there's about $1.1 if it was active, that should be funds that should be retained within the state. That's a concern to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mesley, I will go back and make sure we've seen the report, but at the very least, given those round figures, get you some information relative to how much is outstanding, how much of that is within a 30-day, what's long-term, and how does that work?
Some of that's just uncollectible, and some of it is collectible, and some of it costs more to collect than you get in by collecting it, but I think you need to evaluate it.
And that's exactly, I think, what the bill does is the bill says that be more diligent in the responsibilities that are already designated to you through the administrative process, and try to make some of it statutory. And again, in my conversations with Rick Arshenko and Rick Yunker, I was assured that yes, they do take this very seriously, and as the, particularly as we come up to speed and stop worrying about Y2K and start worrying about Y no pay, and some of these projects, we'll get back to the real main issues. And
are there more accountants and put them to work?
Well, get the machines to be able to identify. And this is not a problem you need to state government. I want you to know that at local level, and I don't know what Representative Hansen's experience has been as an administrator in Portland, as a commissioner in Portland and Multnomah County, but I would say that when we're writing off over $1 million a year in Mount Hare County of fines that we just can't collect from whatever source, whether it's the yapping dog within the city limits, whether it's got a yapping dog issue, or it's a whole litany of problems that they've got. It doesn't surprise me that there's this much at the state level, and to try and the difficulty that I have right now is how do you mandate using good sense and coming in to collect this, and it hasn't been an issue of not using good sense as much as it is with all of the other responsibilities to gather good data together, and I believe that that's the direction that we're heading in this process, is to gather better data. And I have a personal commitment of Mr. Yunker and Ms. Arshenko that in the interim, they know that there's going to be an accountant that's going to come around and visit them, and we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this issue and find out what we can do to isolate these kinds of things, and then how we can better coordinate within state government. But a lot of it is pass-through money, but it's nonetheless, when we talk about pass-through money, we may have some welfare folks out there, welfare mothers that need this money, child support that they're not receiving, or other people on public assistance that deserve our best efforts, and I don't want to fall short in our responsibility to those folks. Thank you very much, Teresa. Any further questions, Representative Mesa, that you had on the collections issue? Can we stand at recess for just, or stand at ease for just a few moments? But I find out, if you want to go back over your numbers and make sure that you're correct. Let me.
come back into the work session, and we appreciate the fact that Georgine will go ahead tonight and get this out for us. And then this will be at our offices so that tomorrow we can have an opportunity to, at our leisure and in our spare time, go ahead and be able to look at the crosswalk with the instruction that this budget needs to be approved tomorrow, because we do have the legislative budget, which we will be tackling tomorrow, and that's de novo, so we'll have a fairly full day tomorrow. I just caution everyone to recognize that we will have a rather substantial day.
What time are you going to start?
At this particular point,
Friday. Somebody said we would have an afternoon session tomorrow, so, and we didn't have any afternoon sessions. So.
It's scheduled at 3 o'clock, and there is the present time, and you've got an afternoon session?
Well, I think so. That's what I heard, because we just never got back to that session today.
Okay, and so what we would plan to do is as much as possible, try to be here at 3 o'clock so that we can
get it
pass this budget through and immediately move them to the legislative assembly budget. So
things about all these awful bills that are going to take calls at the time.
All
Marshall Burris, the board.
My goodness gracious. What are you doing with this?
I'm not any of it.
Okay. what we will do then is we will carry this work session over on Senate Bill or House Bill 5002. We'll carry House Bill 5002 work session over until tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The objections? Being none, we'll go ahead and order that to carry it over, and then we'll have that information handled by tomorrow morning. And thank you, Georgine, for
that. 1 second, Saturday.